Welcome to Becoming Whole, a weekly show designed for men, women, and families seeking to draw nearer to Jesus as they navigate topics like sexual integrity, relational healing, spiritual health, and so much more. If you long for more of Jesus in these sensitive and important areas of life, join us on the journey towards becoming whole.
We believe there's a difference between those who are able to endure over the long haul and those who end up quitting the journey they're on, those who experience peace in the midst of real hardship, and those who are just filled with anxiety and turmoil all the time. And that matters so much in our area of ministry. And the difference between those two groups is very basic on the one hand. It's kind of a Christianity 101 thing, but it's also very, very hard. And so it's something that great saints wrestle with too. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into that, we wanted just to name some of the hard things where what we're going to talk about today makes such a difference. So one of the things that comes to mind for me right at the top of the bat is those who are wrestling with an ongoing habitual sexual sin and who they want to stop. They're trying, they're doing what they can, but they keep finding themselves falling. What we're going to talk about today matters deeply for them. What other categories come up for you, Kit? I know I've got some more too, but...
Yeah, you know, just how painful so many relationships can be, including marriage. And a woman, I meet with so many women who have lost hope that, you know, that their marriage can be healed from the infidelity, from the betrayal. And it's just too painful. Sometimes they just cannot imagine or find any way to find peace in that.
Yeah. And I think that happens for on the other side as I walk who are... They're doing their best. They're maybe even have abstained from pornography or whatever their sexual behavior had been. They're devoted. They're trustworthy, but the wife still does not trust. And that's a whole other podcast, but mm-hmm. That's another area that what we're going to talk about today makes such a difference.
And women, you know, their own struggle. You know, women struggle too with pornography and infidelity, and sometimes they're like, "Gosh, I don't know how to get a handle on this." Women who are acting out and hooking up, and just keep saying, "I'm not going to do that anymore," or "I'm not going to stay in this emotional, abusive, verbally abusive relationship anymore," and then they stay and they can't find their way out. All those things.
Yeah, and then I think, of course, the so many parents that we talk to whose mm-hmm. kids are prodigal in one way or another. Those who have embraced transgenderism or in a gay relationship, or who moved in with their boyfriend, girlfriend without being married. Just the heartache that the Christian parents can experience when they're kind of like, you know, in that situation, wanting their kids to be making different choices. So wherever you are as you're listening, and we know we could go on and on about these difficult situations, but here's where we want to start as we talk about this thing that's going to help you to endure, to experience peace, et cetera, in the midst of the difficulty. And we want to start by reading Psalm 131 as we dive into this. So Kit, would you read that for us? And then we're going to unpack it and kind of hopefully offer some hope and guidance to those listening.
Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
So if you're like me, it can help to actually see the words in front of you and not just to hear them. So if you're listening, and feel free to pause it and Google Psalm 131 or pull out your Bible and read Psalm 131. It is such a marvelous psalm. And as you read it, Kit, I find myself both feeling invited and desiring, and also feeling honestly some angstiness and some discomfort. But why don't you connect the dots? What does this have to do with what we're talking about today, and just the long journey, the difficult pieces of the journey? How are these connected to Psalm 131?
You know, we all do come to the end of ourselves in this life journey. It's too painful for us. It's too much for us. And but we don't always surrender it. We don't always come to that point and say, it's too much for me, I can't. We just keep trying to control it and manage it. And this psalm, basically, I remember the first time, one of the first times I read it, I was like, well, I don't think, what does this mean? Don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. And I didn't realize it was this humbling. It was this humbling, this ability to say, I can't do this and I need God and I need to humble myself like a child, like a weaned child. I need to just rest and give up and open myself to who God is and what he has for me here instead of all the other ways that I'm trying to cope. And of course, this is elusive and it comes in a moment and then it can be gone. But I think what we're trying to say today is it is a reality. It is a truth. We can touch that place. We can touch that place with God and it can be very, very powerful.
I think one of the hard things in a journey towards sexual integrity, towards marital recovery, towards a good relationship with someone who's living a very differently than you'd want them to, and so much else in the world, you know, our political situation, the sicknesses around us, whatever. I mean, is that we are relatively small compared to the complications, the troubles, the problems that we encounter. And part of what I hear in the psalm is an invitation to be small, to be like a weaned child, resting against God. And we're also not called to just be passive or inactive in life. We are invited into God's kingdom work and called to pray, et cetera, et cetera. There's a tension between those. And I find in my own life a tension between kind of restless activism and which is not healthy, and a trusting movement, which is healthy, you know, doing what I can with faith, with a spirit of rest. Anyway, but I did want to ask you, Kit, like, so we just went through all these difficult situations. So I'm imagining you sitting in your office with, for example, with a wife whose husband has been unfaithful and has been, she's just discovered that for 10 years, he's had a few affairs and he's been looking at pornography on a regular basis. She's learned this just maybe, you know, a few months ago, and they are in just an agonizingly difficult place, sorting through all sorts of practical things about, you know, him getting into recovery and her learning more and more of the truth and what are they going to tell the kids and are they going to get separated and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Where does this fit there? Do you really quiet yourself like a weaned child in the midst of that? Where do you go there?
You know, at some point in time in any given tragic situation in life, we come to the end of ourselves and we have to kind of admit that. And it's hard.
Tell me what you mean by that. The end of ourselves.
Well, like, gosh, you know what? I can't manage this. I can't control this. I don't have answers. And accepting that. And then also saying, Lord, what do I need? How do I need to understand who I am and how I respond? How do I learn to trust you and believe you and your promises more than I want this circumstance, more than I want this outcome? And that, you know, there's a place when you kind of get to the point where you're like, you know, it's okay that it's not okay, which is really hard for us to say, right? With children and marriage, but we say, you know what, God, you know what? If what you say is true about who you are and your promises to me are true and you're with me in this, maybe it's okay that it's not okay. Mm. Maybe I can accept that it's not okay. Help me to get there and help me to understand who you are and who I am to you so that I can get there.
So I hear two things in what you're saying. One is this, okay, so and pain and our ability to feel pain is a gift from God because it alerts us that there's a problem. So if I put my hand on the, on a hot burner on my stove, pain sensors in my hand, tell me to, you know, alert me without even a, you know, split second to pull your hand away. So all these situations we're talking about are painful situations. And so there are mechanisms in us that say, let me fix it. You know, let's make this better.
Yeah. Right.
And we can't shut those down. I mean, that's a reality.
Yeah.
Yet some of what we want to fix, we find we cannot fix. Some of what we want to fix, we cannot fix as quickly as we wish we could fix it, including if I just put my hand on the stove, but certainly the other things, that's the situation we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the other thing I heard you mention in here, really, I think comes down to, and I can't remember how you put it exactly, but am I going to keep insisting on the outcome I want as the only thing that will settle me down, the only thing that will get me to rest? Am I going to say that's my source of peace? When that happens, then I will rest. Then I will be at peace. Or am I going to say, God, you are my peace?
Yeah.
And not just say it, but live that out. And there's the challenge for me, and I think for a lot of us.
And it's not a matter of mustering it up. I'm going to believe it. It does have to do, I believe, with a process of allowing God into those inner places in us, which are hurt and are scared. And, you know, lies that we believe about who we are or who God is. And there is an inner work with God that we need to be willing to do to understand some of the ways that we haven't been able to humble ourselves and surrender to God and trust Him with these things. There are many, many different ways, and through our young life and, you know, childhood and adolescence and on, where we learn some things that keep us from that. And that's going to be a process that's involved in this.
I think some people, so I just want you to respond to this. Some people will hear what you're saying and their brains may go to, it sounds like you're telling me that what I want here is not okay. Like, but doesn't God want my marriage healed? Doesn't I'm single and I wish I was married. Don't you think God wants a spouse for me? It's not good for people to be alone. I've been struggling with this for 5 years and I'm still following my addictive behavior. Doesn't God want me to get better? So respond to that, Kit.
Well, I think absolutely. And we live in a broken world. And so yes, we never want to give up hope for what God wants, for goodness and redemption and healthy, full of love marriages where there's trust and respect. And in this current broken world, there's going to be brokenness and shades of things not working the way they ultimately will when we, you know, when Jesus comes and things are ordered and again. So it has to be both. You know, we have to be like, okay, yeah, I don't want to ever give up hope. And I also want to be willing to accept that there's brokenness and that God will be with me in it. And so I can have peace, even if the outcome of what I really want isn't there in this moment.
Yeah. And listeners, I hope you're hearing our hearts in this, that we, our ministry exists in large part because we absolutely believe that fundamental, radical, miraculous transformation in our lives is possible.
Yeah.
And we, on the journey, however long that is, you will fare better. You will be healthier as you go. When you can, and I should say we, because we are all in this, when we can quiet our souls and seek God as our primary source of peace, goodness, and life. Another way, another angle, if I could, of looking at this is, I think sometimes when difficulty strikes, it exposes our idols.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah. You know,
for the guy who's been found out that he's been looking at pornography, like one of the idols that's going to come up for him may be the image that he's projected to everybody else in his life, or it may be his own controlling his schedule and his finances. He's the one in charge. And now he's being asked to open up and be more vulnerable in that part of his life.
Yeah.
For some, it might be, you know, I idolized my kids.
Yeah.
I wanted them to turn out a certain way so that I could be a grandparent. And or maybe that's idolizing the, you know, that the idea of a certain kind of Christmas morning when, you know, that we'd all read the scriptures together and you and your husband and your Christian kids would, you know, gather mm-hmm. around and we'd all mm-hmm. reflect on what a great Christian parent I was, you know, whatever it may be.
Those are very real things, Josh, yeah. that we all don't know we've set ourselves up for either. We don't know how much we have.
Yeah. The desire may be very good, but it sometimes feels like a short step between the good desire and idolizing the outcome of that desire.
Oh yeah.
And part of what we're describing in this, and I think part of what the psalm is about, and part of that, I don't involve myself in matters too great for me, is to say, Lord, of course this is what I want, but come what may, I trust you. I choose you. You are my source.
Yeah.
Right? What are you
absolutely,
doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we're also never going to arrive, even as we find healing in some of these areas of our life, you know, in a sexual struggle, and we praise God for that. We're not going to never need God again. We're not going to struggle again. We will always continue to heal in different ways throughout our whole life.
Yeah.
So there is no arrival. And so to be able to look to God and to know that things are going to come and they're going to knock us over. That's the way it is. And God's going to be there in ways that we will understand deeper and deeper if we allow him in, yeah. you know? And so it's not easy. We're not saying, oh, and so once you've figured this out, everything's going to be great and easy and they'll be fine. No, it's not going to be. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be painful and hard. And there's going to be moments of incredible just peace that, okay, even when things aren't how I wanted them to be, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I was on a prayer walk the other day, just so I can sound a little bit pious. I was on a prayer walk, very rare prayer walk. But I was just lamenting to God about some things that I'm really nervous about. I'm really concerned about. I'm really concerned about the state of our world. I'm really concerned about, some political things that are happening that could have real detriment to families and to people of faith. And as I was just kind of bringing those before the Lord, I just had this, I don't know how to describe it except to say it was a sense, and I think it was the Holy Spirit, just this reminder that all good things come from God and that there's nothing that can be taken away from us that we won't ultimately find again in him, that we can't find in him. There's nothing lost that he can't either replace or recover. There's nothing that can break beyond his ability to repair. There's no wound that he can't heal. And that is nearly unbelievable. I can give you some list of things that I go, I don't know if that happened. That I'm not sure, except that it's true.
Yeah.
The picture I had was almost like if I'm holding a certain basket of things that are in my, you know, that God's given me, and someone comes along and knocks that basket and, you know, 3/4 of those things fall out, way down somewhere, there's ground of the reality of God, and nothing I lose can fall beyond that ground. He is the source. He is our foundation. There's nothing, there's no pit that doesn't end with God. I mean, he is, does that make sense?
And, you know, Josh, we don't get to that place of being able to embrace and be in awe of that mystery just by existing. There is a willingness to open ourselves up to who God is, whether it means you slow down and you spend time appreciating your child's smile, or you slow down and you, you know, notice people who need a helping hand, or you see God in nature, or you, if it, it this, what you're describing about who God is something we do need to open ourselves up to. It doesn't just come. And as long as we continue to, and I'll say I, as long as I continue to put my hope in finite things, marriage, children, material things, my career, my ministry, I will always be on a dangerous slope. And it's really our hope only can come in this infinite, beautiful, wondrous, marvelous God that we hopefully will always continue to learn about, because that's where our hope comes from.
Yeah, there's a loosening of our grip on those things, so they cease to be idols. And interestingly, I mean, on a practical level, I think when we loosen our grip and put our hope for all that we desire in God, we're actually more able to do the hard work of the journey that's in front of us.
Oh yes. Oh gosh. Yes. Absolutely. Well,
so for those who are listening, so we're about out of time, but for those listening, I said at the beginning, this is vitally important. It's foundational Christianity 101. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything. And yet it is also can be really, really hard, especially when we're going through difficult times, like so many people who come to Regeneration are. So wherever you find yourself in this, please know that wherever you are, there's not a journey you have to take to get to where God is. Part of our hope in this is, and I think part of the hope of this psalm is, we quiet ourselves down and can even discover in the midst of, and this is what you were saying before, Kit, this is in the midst of where we are in the not okay place, we are okay because he is present with us. So if that sounds like Christian cliche, it's because it's been cliched, but it's nonetheless true. So Kit, any final words before I close in prayer?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is always, our concern, and when we talked about this before we started to record, that, you know, this isn't, these aren't just empty promises like, oh, do this and you'll be fine. And these are really deep, mysterious things that are true. And so we want to talk about that, because I believe, and you believe, and we believe that, you know, as we open ourselves to God, amazing things happen. And that doesn't mean that then we'll arrive someplace where we won't have pain, but we'll get more and more assured that God is with us in every aspect of life when it's painful. And that there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I think I keep coming back to the cross and resurrection, because if Jesus went there and he comes with me into the crosses that I bear and the deaths I die, so that I can be raised.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to close in this prayer. I'm going to read back through Psalm 131, but I'm going to read it as a prayer, a petition. So I'm going to change the word some. Mm-hmm. Just invite you to pray with me. Oh Lord, please help our hearts not to be proud, nor our eyes haughty. Help us not to involve ourselves in great matters or in things too difficult for us. Lord, help us to compose and quiet our soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. Lord, make our souls like a weaned child within us. Lord, help us to hope in you, Lord, from this time forth and forever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Becoming Whole. Becoming Whole is an audio ministry of regenerationministries.org. If you would like more information on Becoming Whole, Regeneration Ministries hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, programs, and events to support you on your journey. Until next time, God bless.